We are continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. What a and of course I don't pick, if you will. I try to listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him choose the topics and the timing of when they come. And you couldn't have gotten a better companion topic of Wednesdays to Sundays. Sundays, embracing hardship for the glory of God, and Wednesdays, joy in the midst of trials. They're just a perfect complement to one another. Let's briefly go before the Lord before we get started. Father God, we thank you, as Sister Rolanda has prayed for me, that I hear your voice. I will not glory in your presence, that I'll completely submit and yield myself to you. You are the teacher and not I. Speak through me to us. Please give us ears to hear, that we may hear your word and receive this word and eventually become doers of this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just some quick reminders again that about joy. And I think this bears repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating, because again, what's out there, the world's way of thinking, secular humanism, a secular humanistic worldview, beating us every single day in the head, trying to get us to think Satan's way rather than maintaining a godly way. We have to physically fight every day to keep our mind, quote unquote, stayed on the Lord. And the word of God says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. And we want to maintain that in Jesus' name. So again, Christian joy is internal. Just some review. Remember, Christian joy is internal. It's internal. By that I mean, it's an example. If you take the Apostle Paul's life, he was discouraged at times. What discouraged him? His external circumstances. And who wouldn't, if you're shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, and so forth? Yes, your external circumstances are definitely going to affect you. But he maintained his joy, because joy is internal and not affected by, you know, you don't have joy because of what's outside and what's external to you. Apostle Paul, he said that he was afflicted in every way, but not crushed. He was perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And we can say the same thing. Since we have the same Holy Spirit, and it is the same blood of Jesus that saved us, we ourselves can declare with the Apostle Paul that we have been or are being afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So no matter how great our sorrow, it is possible to not lose our deep-seated confidence that God is in control. And what gives us peace and joy and confidence and satisfaction is understanding that God is in control. No matter how crazy things are, and things are crazy, things have been crazy. Sometimes they get a little crazier and even more crazier. But God is in control. That is what we must never forget. And as long as we hold on to that, then we'll have a deep-seated confidence that, you know what, even though things are like they're coming apart at every seam, we know that realistically, God is still in control. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. A Christian joy is generated by humility. We spoke about that last time. Humility is the engine to joy. You want joy? Then be humble. To be humble then is to submit yourselves to the will of God. Submit yourself to the sovereignty of God. Submit yourself to the wisdom of God, to the person of God. He's wise. You say, well, God, why are you allowing? Because God is allowing all of this to happen. To believe that he's not allowing it, then it's to believe in another sovereign. Because if God is not in control, then somebody is. And that's a scary, scary thought, to think that if God isn't in control, then who is? Say, well, it's kind of crazy out there, man. I mean, how can God be in control? We don't understand what or how God gets the glory out of all of this madness, but somehow it's serving his purpose, because to believe otherwise is to believe in another sovereign, which is an impossibility, because sovereign means to have absolute control, to have absolute power. So although God is not causing the evil in the world, he certainly is allowing it. And he's allowing it for his glory. Well, it takes humility to accept that, to bow down to that, to trust God and say, you know, God, I don't get it, but I know you're in control. I trust you. Joy is in that. Think about it. If you don't believe God is in control, then what are you going to do? Worry, be afraid, have discomfort. Joy is generated by humility. People lose their joy when they become self-centered. That's a key phrase. They lose their joy when they become the center of all that they are. We would say it like this: when we become the center of our world, instead of letting the Lord be the center of our focus, when we become our main focus, self-centeredness, selfishness, that's when we lose our joy. You know, one of the reasons what's behind that is we think that we deserve better than what we're being treated. That's that owe me, you owe me kind of a mentality. I deserve better. Well, if you really think about it, if you really want justice, then according to the word of God, then you ought to be dead. I ought to be dead. We ought to be dead, because the wages of sin is death. Have we not sinned today alone? Even if you think you lived a great day as far as what you know, then what about the sins that you don't know about? Is it possible that you or I have committed a sin that we didn't know about today? Is that possible?
Yes.
Yeah, and we're still living. Thank God that he has mercy and not justice.
Amen.
Because if we got justice, it wouldn't be nice. You know, we are being treated better than we deserve. Because the grace of God is reaching for us, the song we just sang, instead of the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God could certainly reach for us. But instead, he had grace and mercy. He had compassion. And for that, we are forever grateful. Three things can rob us of our joy. Not only three things, but three things we went over last time. Rob us of our joy. Circumstances, people, and worry. We talked about that a few minutes ago. Circumstances happening outside. We start looking at that, putting our hope in that, transferring our focus from God and his word onto the circumstances. And once our focus is off of God and his word and onto the circumstances, guess what? In those circumstances, there is no joy. Because joy is not generated by the circumstances. So that robs us. People rob us. Same thing. People get on your nerves. They're saying all kinds of things. They're doing all kinds of things to you. They're whispering behind your back. You get wind of that. You begin to lose focus again off of God and his word, onto the people. It happens a lot. And before you know it, you want to choke the life out of this person because you're so angry. circumstances, people, and then worry. What's going to happen tomorrow? Who's really in charge? Look like God done fell off the throne. You don't realize he left America because look how crazy it is. Just worry, worry, worry. There's no joy in that. So we, in fighting this spiritual fight, we have to be aware that we're giving, we talked about this last week, we're giving away our joy. Joy is not taken from you. We give it away. Because Jesus said, the joy that I give, the world can't give you, and the world can't take it away. So if you believe what Jesus said, when you lose your joy, you've given it away. You allow that person. You basically have told that person, hey, here you go. Just go ahead and just take my joy because I'm going to focus on you and what you're doing and what you're saying and so forth and so on. You're giving it. We've chosen to stop focusing on God and His Word and transfer our focus onto the person or the circumstance. That makes sense? When we do that, we've relinquished our hold on our joy. We've just given away our joy. As I said last week, that's good news because that means it's up to me to maintain my joy because the Lord has already given it. He's gifted that to us. It's up to me to hold on to it and maintain it. We make that decision that circumstances, people, and worry and anything else is not going to cause me to give my joy away. And as those three things rob us of our joy, these three things protect our joy. Humility, we mentioned earlier. Devotion to the Lord Jesus and trust in God protect the joy. Well, that would make sense if we just talked about that people and circumstances and worry, which is the opposite of trust. If we're doing those three things, then we're not doing these three things. So humility, devotion to the Lord, our Lord, kurios in Greek, our Lord Jesus Christ, our owner, our master, and trusting and having faith, unshakable faith in God, they protect our joy. They protect it. And as a reminder again, joy is our Lord Jesus Christ's legacy to every one of his believers. Joy is the legacy left by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Christian. And very briefly, we'll go over the definition again and we'll get started with today's. Joy again is the deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and God. All is well between himself and the Lord. It's a deep down, I'll read it again. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart. Abides means that it's taken up residence there in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. Everything is good. We hear it a lot. It's all good. Yep, it really is between us and the Lord. He's no longer aiming, quote unquote, his wrath at us. We're no longer under the wrath of God. That's the status of the Christian. That's the status of the believer. That's the status of the children of God. We are no longer under the wrath of God. And instead, it's his grace that reaches for us. It's his mercy and his compassion that he shows us every day. His mercies are new. How often? Every morning. And that's just, you know, not that his mercies ever go stale or get old, but that's just to show us as regular human beings trying to, you know, understand an infinite God. You know, he gives us things like that so we can understand that he never runs out of mercy. That for his children, they are new every morning. I got some fresh baked mercy. I must be hungry. Got some fresh baked mercy for you. But the word of God says, let's not tempt the Lord our God. Well, you're going to be merciful. Let me go ahead and do a few things. No, don't do that, because he still is a God of wrath. And he still has holiness that he must protect. And so we want to honor him and be grateful for his mercy. Amen. All right. So that's all review. And we talked about, as we sing about this joy in the midst of trials, we're talking about that the first thing that that has to happen in order for us to develop, if you will, or to have joy, which is really crazy, in the midst of troubles, trials, perplexing situations, sorrow, sadness, pain, suffering, in order to have joy during that time, there's something that needs to happen. And the first thing, thank you for letting me repeat this again and again, that we need to do is to train and develop our minds to focus on things above. It's going to start with the mind. Because other than that, if you don't renew this, there is no other way that you can get into that frame where you can have joy. Does that make sense? You got to start here. Because when we see hardships, sadness, sorrow, pain, suffering, we want to either fight if it's something that we figure we're being done wrong against. We want it to leave as soon as it comes if it's something we can't control. You know, the last thing on our mind is joy. But he said, count it all joy. We'll get to that in a moment in James. When you fall in the middle of and are completely surrounded by troubles, tests, trials. Jesus said in Luke, he said, we're still reviewing, I was trying to move on, but Jesus said in Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man, be glad in that day when they insult you and scorn you and hate you and ostracize you, and leap for joy. Leap for joy. Leap in the Greek means to skip and to gallop and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. You would think, has Jesus lost his mind? Did he get a little confused? Did you not hear what you just said, what will happen in that day? First of all, you're getting confused because the first word in that is blessed are you. You're blessed, meaning to be fortunate, well off, favored, to be favorably placed to receive something good. That you are blessed when men hate you. That's that Scooby-Doo. Wait a minute. I'm blessed when men hate me? Hate means to abhor, who are hostile to you, bitter towards you. You're blessed when that happens? Don't worry, it gets worse. Blessed are you when men ostracize you, give you this cold shoulder, to exclude you, to banish you, to shun you, to ignore you, to snub you. Is that you're blessed? Blessed are you when men insult you, which means to abuse, to offend, to treat rudely, to slight you. You're blessed. And then lastly, blessed are you when men scorn your name as evil. Scorn means to sneer at, to disdain, to disrespect, to ridicule your name. What is your name? Your person, your character as evil, wicked, malicious, bad. For the sake of the Son of Man. But that's the reason. If they're doing this because you name the name of Jesus, he says you're blessed. And he just didn't stop there. He tells you how to react. Verse 23, go get a gun and take your game and go handle your business. That's not what he said. He said, go get revenge. He didn't say, learn how to fight. You can whip them up, wax on, wax off. He didn't say, be skilled in martial arts. He said, be glad in that day and leap for joy in that day. For great is your reward in heaven. Leap for joy. So we ask the question, how in the world can believers have such joy to that degree in the middle of difficult and troubling times and circumstances? Does that make sense? That's a fair question. Like, well, you said it. Remember, we always remind you, whenever Jesus gives a command, whenever God the Father gives a command to his children, it's expected to be believed and obeyed. Not only can we, not only can we, meaning we've been enabled, we have a capacity to obey, but we're expected to obey. So this is a command. He said, be glad and leap for joy. So how do we do that? How can we have that level of joy? Well, it begins with the mind. Something has to happen here. I mean, can you hear Romans 12, 2, renovate the mind? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's got to be a major renovation, because we just, from a force of habit, are going to defend ourselves or say something back verbally to protect ourselves when we are ridiculed, scorned, sneered at, snubbed, hated, ostracized. Our natural reaction is to fight back, either verbally or physically. But notice I use that word on purpose. Our natural reaction. But we are supernatural beings on the inside, the real us that's been born again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We are born again supernatural beings. And that person, that supernatural being that's on the inside, who has the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside to help, that person can do what our Lord has commanded us. Now, in order for us to get that flesh under control, because when somebody is hating you and scorning you and ostracizing you, it's hard. That flesh is going to be just screaming, roaring like a lion. Let me at him. Ain't nobody going to disrespect me like that. Man, you crazy. And so there needs to be a mind renovation. There needs to be a mind renewal. And that's why if you're blessed enough to be able to make it on Sunday and Wednesday, they're going to help out in a mighty way. Because we desperately need a mind renewal, a mind renovation in that area. How can you embrace hardships? Embrace it. Welcome it. Can't do it. Unless this has been renewed. Does that make sense? You can't do it. It's a literal impossibility. And that's why the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, said in Romans 12, to be not conformed to this world. Don't look like the world externally. Don't think like them. Don't act like them. But that's what we do. You insult me, boom, I'm right back at you. You hate me, back at you. But that's looking like the world. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate and apart. So he says, don't conform yourself to the way the world acts, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll get to that one later. Mind renewal is going to begin here. The first thing we need to do, as we said earlier, we need to train and develop our minds to focus on things above. Now, if somebody's hating you and they are ostracizing you and they are scorning your name as evil, you have to train yourself to focus on things above while this is going on. I know you know this, but I'm going to say the obvious. It's not automatic. It's through training. I coach basketball. I still fool around with it a little bit. Somebody comes in and, like, I really love defense. Love to teach defense. And if somebody comes in to the practice and they're used to, because maybe they're really good, we get this sometimes, where an offensive-minded player can score a lot of points, you know, and they were so good that the coach really didn't make them play defense, you know, like in junior high, maybe 6th, 7th, 8th grade. He let them kind of get away with it. Well, when they come to me, in our program in the 9th grade, defense is first. You know, I really don't even care about an offensive player, to be honest with you. That's just my thought. So if they're used to playing defense standing straight up, trying to guard somebody, they're going to blow by you every single time. They've been playing no defense in 6th grade, no defense in 7th grade, no defense in 8th grade. Are they going to suddenly become a good player, defensive player, in the 9th grade, suddenly? No. You say, what's the connection? You hear that you must embrace hardship, Sunday's teaching, and having joy in the midst of trials, this teaching. Just because you heard it doesn't mean it's going to happen automatically. Just as you have to train in physical things, you must train in spiritual things. Let me show you that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken. Hebrews chapter 5, and let's see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's about verse 14 or so. It's near the end of the chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 12. 11, for him we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. What happened? They have not grown up. They're still babies. So you ought to be teachers by this time. There's expected growth that the Lord is expecting of you. He said, you're not even there. You still need milk. Look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant, King James, a baby. But solid food, I think King James has meat. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, there's the word, training, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You ought to train spiritually like you train naturally. Any job you walk on to, you got to learn the ropes. What goes where, how to do this, how to do that. Sometimes it looks like we don't, I don't know what we think as Christians. That we know there's training in the natural, but we think Christians just happens by osmosis or something. I don't know. We don't want to put in the work. How long have I been begging folks to get the word daily? I mean, you know, this is our 20th year, as a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, I think today is 18th. 7th. The 16th. Well, tomorrow, the 17th, will be the unofficial. It was 20 years tomorrow, July 17th, when we started unofficially in my mom's basement. And it was August 6th when we started officially. 20 years, been begging people to get the word daily. You don't have a shot outside of the word. And not only to get it means not just listen to it, but it means also to obey it. Gotta train. You are training for life until you die. This is heavy lifting. This is heavy lifting. I mean, it's trying to like bench 225. Trying to throw that up there. That's heavy. You got to train up to that. Right? You're not just walking to a gym like, no. It's not going to happen. Is training. Have their senses trained through practice. Those are actual words in the Bible concerning spiritual growth. You're practicing and training. That's why a teaching ministry is invaluable. Just like a coach who teaches. They're the best coaches. The teachers who just don't walk around with just the title alone, but are actual teachers, are the best teachers who actually teach. A teaching pastor is invaluable. A teaching ministry is invaluable. Because the only way that I can practice anything is I must be first taught what I need to practice. If you just run out and say, hey, go set a pick, you know. Play defense. Set a screen at the top. I don't know what that is. If you've never played basketball, I don't know what a screen is. I don't know what a pick is. What's the top of what? Am I right? Yeah, I don't know anything. That's why you got a lot of churches that operates through emotionalism. You know, have faith in God. You know, love the Lord your God. What is love? What is God? Who is God? Who's faith? What is that? He's commanding us to leap for joy. Jesus doesn't joke. He wasn't telling a joke. He wasn't being funny. He wasn't saying, I was just kidding. I know you can't do that because, you know, you all right. You know what I'm saying? You good. You know, go on, baby boy. You know, I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? No. When he said leap for joy, gallop and skip after you've been insulted, he's serious. Then if you're serious about the things of God, then your next question ought to be, how in the world can I get to that? How do I do that? And if you're really serious and the Lord is really working with you and you're maturing, you want to do that. Do you know how freeing that is, that somebody can insult you and anger you and you chill?
You cool? The Lord is truly just running your whole life, especially your mindset? Man, how freeing is that? Wow.
I want this. I desire this. I want to be able to do that. I mean, you ain't got nothing for me. You can insult me. You can ostracize me. You can speak against my name, my very character, which I count very dear because God has given me my name, my character, my reputation. He's given that to me. And to go at that and this leap for joy when it's maligned and dogged out and talked about and is lied on, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, be exceeding glad. I want that. Because the alternative is being very upset and wanting to go find out who is this, and I'm finna go handle this. And that binds you. You know what I'm saying? That incarcerates you. That anger and that wanting revenge and wanting vengeance because somebody talked about you, because somebody lied on you. As a matter of fact, it's sin to seek vengeance because he said not to do it. He said, vengeance is mine. That's my business. I will repay, saith the Lord. I told you, it takes humility not to do that. And that's going to lead to joy. Instead of a case. Amen. Careful now. Amen. So we need to train, focus, develop our minds to focus on things above. We must train and develop our minds to focus on things above and not on things on the earth. And to train and develop our minds to do that while the trial is happening all around you and to you. Look at Colossians 3:1 again. Since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Because that's what Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Colossians 3:1. Keep seeking things above. Again, keep seeking is present, active, imperative. Present means what? You notice by now. Present means what? Ongoing. Active means you're doing it. And imperative means it's a command. So in the Greek, seeking is present, active, imperative. It's ongoing, present, active. You must do it, not somebody else for you. And then imperative, I'm giving you a command. Seek and keep seeking those things above. When the person is hating you, when they're ostracizing you, when they're abhorring you and so forth, it's going to take all of the Holy Ghost to keep you from not focusing on that. It's going to take all of the Holy Spirit of the living God to help us to keep seeking things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God in the middle of why you're hearing that. Yeah. I know my limitations. That's not happening in my own strength. Never. Verse 2. Set your mind. Same thing. Present, active, imperative. Set and keep setting your mind, which means to direct one's mind to heaven, towards heaven. It means an earnest and intensively interest to earnestly and intensively interest oneself in a certain direction with concern or obedience. To earnestly and intensively, listen to those words, interest oneself in heavenly things with concern or obedience. And I'm going to say both, concern and obedience. I don't want you to just be concerned, because how deep your concern is going to be proven through your obedience. So set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. We keep stopping at this same, this is the third straight week we've stopped at the same exact point as we close again at the same exact point. Question, what, we just went over it, is the believer to focus on in order to have joy in the midst of trials, troubles, and tests? And the answer, it is focus on things above. We need to get our heart and minds off of the things of the earth and transfer that focus of our heart and our mind to heavenly things. And for the third straight week, we'll pick up at this point next time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, Father God, we need you. This is heavy lifting. But it's not beyond our ability through you to do this. So we say now with Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Philippi, I can do, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens and empowers us. Amen. We are ready for anything that comes through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.